Proverbs chapter 1 on the fear of God. If you like to take notes, we're going to deal with three questions today. What is the fear of God? Secondly, why should we in fact fear God? And third, how do you fear God? If you do fear Him, how do you do it? In Proverbs chapter 1, and there is a lot in the Psalms and Proverbs about the fear of God. In chapter 1, we read the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I read that in a Bible study several years ago, and an elderly lady said, "That's for me. My bones hurt." Well, if your bones hurt today, we've got good news for you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and I pray that the understanding of the fear of the Lord may come into us with great force because of the Word of God's teaching. Lord, there are a lot of us who really need to understand this in a generation that's forsaken you, a culture that's decided to make decisions and live life without any regard for you and your purposes and your plans. God, I pray that it will be different for us, that those in our audience who have never yet made a commitment to you that is personal, life-changing, spiritual awakening. God, help us to see the need of that. And may lives be changed today because of it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the fear of God? You know, there are many ways to answer this question. I said after doing a long study on the word fear, and by the way, it appears so many times in the Bible, one wonders how much time you would have to finish it. But if you study every passage where it's used, you come to the conclusion that fear, in terms of its in-depth Hebrew grammatical understanding, fear means fear. Amen? Now, all the books I have that comment on fear kind of go the other way. They tell me, in fact, I just did a quick review of that in preparation for this message, although I remember well what they all say. But anyway, I just did a quick review and ran through them. And almost every last theology and commentary on this says, well, it's not exactly fear. It's reverential trust. It's awe. It's understanding how God is great. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind that, as you will soon see. But the truth of the matter, without trying to run away, fear does mean fear. And yet the Bible very clearly wants us to love God and tells us that if you have God's kind of love, it will cast out fear. So aren't those mutually exclusive? Well, it depends. First of all, it depends on whether you're talking about the human reaction of fear or whether you're talking the biblical understanding of fear. I believe the biblical understanding of fear is never to be absent from the believer's heart. Never. A part of my relationship to God involves my fear of God. In fact, there's a sense in which I can tell you all believers fear God and all non-believers do not fear God. The very term to fear God is a statement about who is a believer and who isn't. But of course, we need a lot more than this. What is the fear of God? And I'm going to use the Bible alone to tell you. Number one, I read in Proverbs 1:7 that it is the key to knowledge and wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 15, verse 33. You'll also find the same thing in Psalm 111, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to be smart, really understand life and what it's all about, the meaning and purpose of it, and how everything functions and works, if you want wisdom and knowledge, the Bible says you need the fear of the Lord. You ask me, what is the fear of God? It is the key to wisdom and knowledge. Whatever it is, we desperately need it. In chapter 15, verse 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The last phrase is a parallel statement. The honor here would be being wise. And before that honor is humility, which is the fear of the Lord. It's a type of parallelism in Hebrew poetry that shifts subject and direct object in the two parallel statements. The fear of the Lord is the honor, is the humility, and the wisdom is the honor. So before you get wisdom, before you're honored that way, you need humility, which is what? The fear of the Lord. So there you're getting some insight into what it is. But the key to notice is that whoever has the fear of God in his life is being constantly instructed in wisdom. So those who fear God are going to be much smarter and wiser, especially in terms of the application of knowledge, than those who do not. Number two, turn back to Proverbs 2, verse 5. You say, what is the fear of God? Well, it's the key to knowledge and wisdom. But number two, the Bible teaches it is the knowledge of God Himself. When you say fear of God, we're not talking simply about being scared, but we're actually talking about knowing God. And fear is the consequence of that. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, if you seek for wisdom, verse 4, like you search for hidden treasure, you're really after it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, parallel statement again, and find the knowledge of God. What is the fear of the Lord? It is the knowledge of God. Turn to chapter 9, even a more pointed statement. Chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's how he started the book in Proverbs 1:7. Now he picks it up again and says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here's a parallel statement. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what is the fear of the Lord? It is the knowledge of God Himself. When you fear God, you have decided that knowing who God is more important than anything else in life. You following? And isn't it interesting that our culture is bonkers? I mean, I'm going to find another word to just describe their obsession, but they are bonkers for learning about man and self. And we wonder why we're not wise. We wonder why we don't have the wisdom and knowledge of God. What's wrong? Well, the pursuit is wrong. If you're pursuing to know yourself, to find out who you are, to really get your act together, first of all, it's a dead-end street going nowhere. You're wasting your time, really. But if you're doing that, it's leading to that which is not wise. You will learn fast and rapidly that you will never discover the real wisdom that God wants to give you. It comes through knowing God. Turn back to Psalm 33. A third thing, when you ask me, what is the fear of God? It's the key to knowledge and wisdom. It is the knowledge of God Himself. And number three, it is respect for the power of God's Word. Why do some people not pay much attention to the Bible and the Word of God in their life? Well, according to the Bible, there's a problem here about the fear of God. In Psalm 33, I read in verse 8 and 9, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, just thinking about creation and how it came into existence. By the way, if you don't believe that the world was created by the direct Word of God, guess what? I'm sorry, you're not smart. And I'm not here discussing all the scientific theories that our world has come up with. If you do not believe that the universe was the result of the direct Word of God, it's heading you down a course of intellectual and moral blindness, whether you know it or not. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Okay, we Christians might argue over how long the days were and what the processes were and all of that. But listen, you remove God. In the beginning, God created. And you are now on a road of moral and intellectual darkness. And the Bible speaks about that frequently. You don't acknowledge God. You set Him aside. It's going to lead to the foolishness of your own imaginations. That's in Romans 1. And God says you're without excuse once you do that. You're in big trouble. So it's respect for the power of God's Word. Now God spoke and it was done. Remember, folks, when God spoke and created the world, that's a result of the creative breath of God Almighty. Well, so is man the result of the creative breath of God. The Bible says the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the material physical universe is the product of the creative breath of God, and so is man and woman. By the way, so is the written Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture, graphe, writing, that which was written. Every scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed. So in the Bible, we learn three things are the result of the simple Word of God, the creative power of God by the simple spoken Word. The physical material universe, human people, man and woman, and third, the Word of God itself, the written Word of God. So you see, the fear of God is a key even to your whole response to the Word of God. You say, what is the fear of God? It's a key to knowledge and understanding and wisdom. It's also the knowledge of God Himself, and it is respect for the power of God's Word. You stand in awe, you fear. Why? Because He spoke and it was done. Turn please to Proverbs 8:13. A fourth thing that the Bible says is the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8:13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, I hate. When you fear God, you hate what He hates. You hate sin. You say, what is the fear of God? It's the hatred of sin. And what do we see in our culture? We see a giant toleration of sin. We see also a redefinition of sin. Things that God says are wrong, people are saying it's okay. Listen, if you fear God, what that fear of God is a hatred of sin. Not sinners, sin. We love people, but we hate what they do. Hatred of sin. If you don't hate sin, you in fact are not described in the Bible as one who fears God. And you're living very dangerously as a believer if that's what you claim to be. People who really love the Lord and are really committed to Him hate evil and sin. They know what it does, they know the damage and destruction, and they hate it wherever it is. But they love people. Number five, turn to Proverbs chapter 14. You say, what is the fear of God? It's a key to wisdom and knowledge. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It's the knowledge of God Himself. It's the respect for the power of God's Word. It's the hatred of sin. Proverbs 14:27 adds another one. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. You say, what is the fear of God? It's a fountain of life. Whatever this is, to fear God, it's the root, so to speak, or the fountain out of which gushes all that is what we call life. And especially as it relates to eternal life. Because obviously the person is alive about whom he's saying it. So it's not simply the physical life problem. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to avoid the traps of death. And what he is saying is referring to a believer. All that life is being promised to the believer by our Lord, everlasting, eternal, wonderful life and all of its blessings, is really rooted in the fear of the Lord. So that's why the fear of the Lord is sometimes a statement just simply indicating a believer in contrast to a non-believer. All believers should fear God. All unbelievers do not fear God. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life out of which all life springs. Turn to chapter 23. I'll give you one more. When you say, what is the fear of God? It's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It's the knowledge of God Himself. It's a hatred of sin. It's a fountain of life. But according to Proverbs 23:17 and 18, it's also hope in the Lord. And here's where we begin to understand a little bit of what the fear of God means. It says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord continue all day long, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." When you have fear in the Lord, it is hope in the Lord. So you don't envy what the world's offering or what they say is cool or neat or sharp or wonderful or tremendous for you. You don't envy it. You don't want anything to do with it. The world is passing away. What the fear of God is hope in the Lord. You know that what He has promised will come true. Hebrews 6 says that hope is a sure anchor of the soul. Our souls are so much in turmoil. Why? Because there's no anchor of the soul. We're bouncing on the water, so to speak. We're not anchored down. And the anchor is the hope and confidence that we have that God cannot lie, and He has promised to us wonderful things. So we trust Him. Now I begin to learn a little bit more about what the fear of God is. It is a key to knowledge and wisdom. It does mean hate sin and all of that, but it is hope. It is confidence in the Lord. Not in what life presents to me, but in the Lord Himself. And you can almost see when the fear of God is dribbling out of your life is when you lose confidence in the Lord, and all of a sudden your circumstances and the events of your life and even people in your circle of ministry, all of a sudden they become the key focus and you're getting your hope from them. Soon you will see that the fear of God is lacking. You're more worried about what people think about you. You're more worried about how the circumstances of your life are turning out. And if they're in your category negative, that is, you don't like what's happening, all of a sudden you're getting bent out of shape. Things are getting worse. You're losing your confidence. You're losing your trust. What's happening? Well, your problem is the fear of the Lord. We need to fear God. Now, let me give you some reasons to answer the second question. Why should we fear God? Why? Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, please, and look at verse 27. Why should we fear God? And there are a lot of wonderful reasons why. One is that it prolongs days. You say, "Man, I can't hardly get through a day now. You're telling me it's going to be longer?" Proverbs 10, 27. It's amazing when you read a verse what you think. That's why study is good. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who has no cause to be embarrassed or shame, rightly dividing the word of truth." At first glance, sometimes you wonder. "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Now, right away comes forth a doctrine that I believe is incorrect, but is taught by many, many Christians. That if you fear God, you'll live longer than the guys that don't. That's what a lot of people believe that says. Looks like it, doesn't it, on the surface? Do you know any wicked people who've lived a long time? Do you know any people who've walked with the Lord that, so to speak, got their lives cut short, didn't live very long on the earth? No, Proverbs is not presenting the earthly life as the big deal. The hope of Proverbs, the wonderful joys and blessings of Proverbs are not rooted in whatever this life has. Remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. "If only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most," what? "Miserable." That doesn't sound like somebody who has the fear of the Lord in his life who thinks prolonging days means just living longer. Hey, there are a lot of reasons why one doesn't want to live longer. Let me give an example. I was thinking about this the other day. When a loved one has a heart attack and dies, sometimes it's a shock, especially if there was no warning, and they just die. And you know, we all, almost in hearing that, go, but you know, if they know the Lord, it ought to be, "Wow, that's great! Imagine that!" I mean, it's like one day you're here and bang, next moment you're in heaven. Boy, that lucky guy, man, wasn't that something? Praise the Lord, he died of a heart attack. You know, if you say that, they'll call for the guys with the white coats. You know, why aren't you more grieving? But listen, if we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, though we sorrow over missing the loved one, is it not true that that is a very sweet and gracious thing of God? Now, on the other hand, have you not also seen what I have seen and still live with every day? The suffering and agony of a loved one. They're not going to get better. Gets worse. And you tell me to rejoice that the fear of the Lord prolongs days, and all that means is, well, they live to be 90. Hey, they might have wanted to die when they were 70 if they'd only known what the next 20 years would have been. No, God's Word is not promising here earthly extensions. God is talking about the hope that we have in the Lord. You talk about prolonged days. We're talking about living with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. So why should we fear God? Because it prolongs days. That means we're going to be with the Lord forever. It's a statement again about those who come to believe in Him. If you fear God, you put your hope in the Lord. Your confidence is in Him. And what a wonderful promise we have of living forever with God. That's special. Turn to Proverbs 14 again. A second reason why we should fear God is because it protects us from some very serious problems. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge." A place of refuge. "Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh God, You're our shield and our fortress. You're the lifter up of our head." And so many wonderful promises. The Lord is a sun and a shield. He'll give grace and glory, and no good will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord will deliver us. It protects us. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. If you understand that it's putting your confidence in God and who He is and not who man is, then you realize how you can have strong confidence no matter what happens. If you really fear the Lord, there's strong, there's a refuge there. "He hideth my soul." There's a place of refuge. Verse 27 again, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death." Turn to chapter 19, verse 23. Chapter 19, verse 23. God has promised protection to those who fear the Lord. Confidence, a refuge, a place to go when it looks like all hell's breaking out around you. Hey, in the Lord, there's strong confidence no matter what happens. And in Proverbs chapter 23, excuse me, chapter 19, verse 23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." God is promising protection of the believer. Even Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." When Jesus in John 17 was praying to His Heavenly Father, He said, "Holy Father, keep them whom You have given to Me." He said, keep them from the evil one. And I read throughout the Scripture that those who put their confidence and trust in the Lord are protected in unique and special ways from evil and the evil one, more than perhaps any of us have ever really recognized. Thank God for it. God takes care of us, which brings me to a third reason why I should fear God. Turn to Psalm 33. Not only because it prolongs days and involves living forever with the Lord, not only because it protects us from evil and the evil one, but also it provides for our needs. It provides for our needs. It's interesting. There are a lot of people who wonder if God will provide their needs. In Psalm 33:18, Psalm 33, verse 18, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him." I like that. On those who hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Look at chapter 34, please, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints." Parallel statements here. Trust in the Lord, fear the Lord. "There's no want, no lack to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good," or good thing. "Shall not lack any good from the Lord." That, what a fascinating statement that is. God is going to provide for all of our needs. You say, "Man, I knew it. That new house, we got it." Wait a minute. A lot of us struggle with how God provides for our needs. Isn't it interesting that this passage in Psalm 34 is rooted in the goodness of God? "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Rooted in our trust in Him. And that there's no lack. God will always give good. Now, is it not possible, my friends, that something would happen in our life or not happen that we expected that we would regard as bad and he would regard as good. Oh, yes. The thing that causes one to have the fear of God and trust in the Lord is that everything, no matter whether it's my perspective of how bad or good it is, but everything God does will be and is good. Do you believe it was good for you to lose that job? Do you believe it was good for you to face that trial and that circumstance and that pain and that sorrow and that tear? You know, sometimes God is gracious, and in our life, He gives us understanding of those things. But I'm to trust Him to the point that even though the understanding never comes, I will still put my confidence in the Lord that everything He has done is good. See, that's rooted also in my understanding of the sovereignty of God, that all things are being worked together for good to those who love God. If I fear the Lord, then I recognize that. I know God provides all my needs, no matter what it is. Now, I may come up with my own list. I don't know if in marriage you have this problem, but I used to teach, until I realized what a problem it was, but I used to teach that you ought to make a list of things to do. You know, you call it a honey-do list, and, you know, instead of worrying about communication and getting hurt, just make a list of things that, you know, but the trouble is with preaching, my wife took me seriously and started making a list. And things that I ought to do or not do. And so I dropped that out of my teaching and preaching. But anyway, it's interesting because in our list of things that we might make and say, oh, this is really my need. You know, that's my need, boy. Make a list. Pray about those needs. And then we fail to recognize that what God is in fact doing to answer your little list, sometimes telling you no and sometimes just not even responding to you. Because he's got something else he wants to do. But he doesn't get glory. He doesn't get trust. There's no fear of God because our list is the biggie. And God, if as soon as you do something about my list, then I'll know that you exist. Hey, wait a minute. In the beginning, God created. The Bible doesn't set out to prove to you the existence of God. It assumes it. It asks you to respond to it, to believe in Him, and to trust Him no matter what. And if you never see anything in your life that's in your category good, would you still trust Him? Job said, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. If He takes everything away from me, and it looked like He did, I'm still going to trust the Lord. Because who I know the Lord is from the Bible is He always does good. He'll take care of us. That's what he said. Now turn to Psalm 147. Let me give you a fourth reason why you should fear God. Not only because it prolongs your days, involves living forever with God, protecting us from evil and the evil one, providing for all of our needs, God doing good constantly for us. But folks, it also pleases the Lord to fear God. It pleases the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. We got any guys that are into buff? Go down to the club, man, work out. Hey, into the weights. You know, I did that as a young man, in fact, quite a long time. And really went after it. I loved it. Became life member of a gym and all that stuff. And, I never told my kids to do that. And they did it too. And I know the grandkids are going to do it too. It's kind of part of being, you know, never mind. And you know, I'll never forget one day I was working out in the gym and you know that machine with the leg machine pumping it up, you know, and we were kind of having a little contest about a few of us that were playing ball together trying to see who could push the most with our legs, you know. This little, well, I called him Tweaky, but you know, kind of a thin guy. He wasn't into sports or anything, but he was in the gym, and he was a Christian. He was always talking about the Word. But he came up and he quoted this verse. God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man, and walked away. Yeah. Man, what a bummer. But verse 11 says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Isn't that neat? Hey, you know, folks, it pleases the Lord when you fear Him. And in this passage, you've got even another definition of the fear of the Lord. It involves hoping in the mercy of God. Mercy holding back from us what we really deserve. His loving kindness and tenderness Hoping in that is the same thing as fearing the Lord. You fear the Lord and you recognize that were it not for His mercy, I'd be zapped right now. What a neat passage. It pleases God. And we got all this busyness going on. We're into everything and trying to prove, you know, that we can handle everything. All of life is like that. And the Bible says God doesn't take pleasure in that. He takes pleasure in those who fear Him. Let me give you another reason. Turn to Psalm 25. You say, why should I fear God? Well, it prolongs days. Eternal life's an issue there. It protects us from evil and the evil one. It provides for our needs. God will always do good to you. It pleases the Lord. But number five, it provides special blessings from the Lord to fear God. And these are some of the neat things that God does throughout our life. And we look back sometimes over the years and we say, God has been so good. Count your blessings, name them one by one. In Psalm 25, I read in verse 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity or goodness, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Look at this next statement. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God promises in these verses that God's going to really show a man the way that the Lord chooses. He's going to show him also things that a lot of folks don't understand or see. God's going to bless him. God's going to show him the impact of all the promises he's made to him. God's going to reveal things to this man he never would have seen had he not, first of all, feared the Lord with all his heart. How interesting. Turn to chapter 31, verse 19. Chapter 31, 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, the psalmist says, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Again, God promising wonderful special blessings. He's laid up, He's prepared for those who fear the Lord. Again, trust in Him. Turn to chapter 85, verse 9. Chapter 85, verse 9. Talk about special blessings. The Bible says, surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Salvation near to those who fear Him. Chapter 103, please. Chapter 103, look at verse 11. I love these verses. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who what? Fear Him. Verse 13, as a father pities or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Special blessing from God. Verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. It's like a statement of belief in the Lord. It's referring to believers and the blessing that God will bring. Chapter 115, please. Look at verse 13 to 15. Chapter 115 of Psalms, verse 13. It says, He will bless those who fear the Lord. Do you want to be blessed by God? He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Why? Because you fear the Lord. Wow. Chapter 128. Look at verse 1. Chapter 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Verse 4, behold, thus the man will be blessed who fears the Lord. How will he be blessed? Verse 3 says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Listen to me, people. The Bible promises a happy marriage and a happy family life to those who fear the Lord. And you want to know why there's so much trouble? Because we don't fear the Lord. We don't trust the Lord. We don't depend on the Lord. We don't hope in the Lord. And we wonder why things are a mess. God promises special blessings from His gracious hand if we will fear the Lord. Psalm 145:19 says He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. You say, I got a lot of desires. Psalm 37, delight in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Make Him the joy of your heart. You'll find your desire system is radically changed by the Lord Himself. The Bible says to all those who fear Him, He will fulfill the desire of your heart. Wow. Tremendous promises. Let me give you one more. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. You say, why should we fear God? Well, it prolongs days. Talking about living forever with God. It protects us from evil and the evil one. It provides for our needs. God always doing good. It pleases the Lord Himself. It provides special blessings from the Lord, abundant blessings. And number 6, it promises future salvation. It promises future salvation. That's why we should fear the Lord. In Malachi 3:16, it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Chapter 4, verse 2, but to you who fear My name, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, it's the title of the Messiah, shall arise with healing in His wings. You shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. He's talking about the future blessings of the Lord when the Messiah comes again. For who is all this done? Whose names are written in the book of the remembrance of God? Who are those who will find total, complete, absolute, perfect healing from the Messiah Himself forever and ever? It's those who fear God. Now let's ask the question. We had 3 questions. 1, what is the fear of God? And why should we fear God? Now, how do we fear God? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the 5th book of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. How do you fear God? I mean, what does it actually mean if we're applying this in our life? Number 1, you fear God by keeping His commandments. Obedience. Don't tell me you fear God if you don't keep His word. God says this over and over and over again. I hit some highlights, Deuteronomy 6:2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you. Verse 24, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Chapter 13, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. Chapter 17, verse 19, it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse 58. 28, verse 58. It says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then God would bring judgment. What does it mean to fear the Lord? In chapter 31, verse 12, it says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, the stranger who's within your gates, that they may hear and that you may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. I hope all of this scripture tells you one thing. We're not talking about learning to be afraid and scared of God, but we're learning to recognize God in such a dominant way in our life that obedience flows out of it. I want to do what God tells me to do. Those who fear God are geared towards obedience always. Number 2, turn to Exodus chapter 20. You say, how do you fear God? 1, by keeping His commandments, obedience. 2 is by staying away from sin. Staying away from sin. In Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." You know, that's almost a paradox. He tells the people not to be afraid, and then tells them that they would fear God. So we learn that fearing God is not simply being scared. And they were scared at this point because they saw a visible demonstration of God. Fire, all of this. They were scared, really scared, frightened by what God did. And he said, "Hey, don't be scared. Don't be scared at all. I've come to test you. I want my fear to be before you so that you may not sin." He had just revealed the consequences that could happen to somebody who disobeyed what we know were the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. You see, the fear of God is staying away from sin. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, we had read that verse earlier, but Proverbs 3, 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In Proverbs 16, verse 6, it says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." You say, "David, what does it mean to fear God?" We're to do it with all of our heart, mind, and soul. It means keep his commandments, and it means stay away from sin. Number three, it means to serve the Lord. Those who fear God are not trying to find a way out of service. They are committed to service because they fear God. In Deuteronomy 6:13, it says, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him." In chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, verse 12, it says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Joshua challenged the people of Israel in Joshua 24 with the same thing. If you fear God, you will serve him. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Those who fear the Lord are going to serve the Lord. They're going to do whatever they can to be a blessing to others and to do what God wants them to do. So you see, when you ask me, how do you fear God? Keep his commandments, obedience, stay away from sin, and serve the Lord with all your heart. That's fearing God. Turn to Deuteronomy 14. This one's going to hurt a little bit, so you better turn. Deuteronomy 14, and I mean turn to the Bible. You know how you fear God in your life? By giving to the Lord a portion of your income. You say, "I knew he'd talk about money." I always love to talk about the man that visited here at Calvary Church on three occasions. He hasn't been back in several years, but he visited here three occasions. He said to me, he said, "I've been there three times." He named the occasions. He said, "All three times you spoke about money and giving." I checked my records. It was the only three times I had spoken on money. He said, "Well, the way I see it, you always speak on money." I said, "Well, you know, since I checked the records, and those are the only three times I spoke on money. Obviously, you've only been here three times. And by the way, isn't it interesting in the sovereignty of God why he would bring you on the Sundays that I would be speaking about giving?" You know, you talk about giving, people back up. Wait a minute. Deuteronomy 14 says, 22, verse 22, "You shall truly tithe." Yes, tithe was like a taxation. I understand all that. Israel was a theocracy. "You shall truly tithe a tenth, all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." Did you know giving a portion on a regular basis of your income to God keeps God on the front burner of your focus and perspective? That's what it means to fear the Lord. You recognize his sovereignty over all that you have. That's why a portion of your income is given to him, to honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance, as Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says. It's a recognition that all I have comes from God. And it's a commitment to God to honor him, to worship him, to say, "Lord, I know where all this comes from." Number five, as to how do you fear God by keeping His commandments, staying away from sin, serving the Lord, giving to the Lord, also by praising the Lord, which we'll talk about more in our next message. But Psalm 22:23. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all you offspring of Israel. In chapter 135 of Psalms, verse 20, chapter 135, verse 20, it says, Bless the Lord, O house of Levi, ye who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you praise Him, you bless Him, you give glory to Him. And one last thing, turn to Psalm 115, verse 11. How do we fear God? By keeping His commandments, by staying away from sin, by serving the Lord, by giving to the Lord, by praising the Lord. But here's the heart of it. By trusting in the Lord. By trusting in the Lord. In Psalm 115, verse 11, it says, You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The choir sang for us that God is a shield about us. We learned in the fear of the Lord there's strong confidence. He's a place of refuge, leaning on the everlasting arms. I don't know where you stand today, but I'll tell you this, we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. In Psalm 119:74, it says, Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Do you trust in the Lord? Let's close with prayer. Father, you know who in this audience fears you and who doesn't. Who trusts and hopes in you, who recognizes you in all that they do and say, who relies upon you daily. God, I pray for those in our audience who have never come to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, that you would right now, by the Holy Spirit of God, draw them to you. Bring them, Father, by your power, to see that we're sinners and cannot save ourselves, and we need the Savior who died on a cross 1900 years ago to pay for our sins and rose again from the dead that we might live forever with Him. God, help us to learn to fear you all of our days, to trust with all of our heart and not to lean with our own understanding. Father, work in our hearts to make those commitments we know we should make. I pray for your people who claim to be Christians, who are not walking in the fear of the Lord. God, bring us to a place of repentance and change, that we'd come back to your loving heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.